You gotta combine your artwork with your hustle. If it's not enough to be good. Mm-hmm. You can be the best. It's not enough, man. Get great at the art you're gonna do. Get great first. Right? Be great. Compete. You know, there's people, oh, I don't compete, man. You need to compete. You need street cred. You need it, bro. I mean, how can you say you're the best if you haven't competed with the best and beat them?
Because a lot of people that do the opposite, they're not good yet, and they want to do marketing. Marketing is like, wait, you're not good yet. Don't market yourself yet. Yeah. Work on your craft.
Be great. Be in a competition level that you know that you're like up there with the top 10 in what you do. After you have that covered, work on your marketing. You know, it doesn't pay to market a product that's not ready.
I feel 99% of NFTs are scams.
Okay.
99% are scams.
Yeah.
And it's the 1%, like projects like yours, that are backed by real people who are completely doxxed, real business owners who are real artists and are actually out there creating something of value. And like, when I invest into an NFT project, I'm not only investing in the art, I'm investing in the founder.
What's up, Disrupt Nation? My name is Tony Delgado, and welcome to the Disrupt Podcast. On this podcast, we're going to be talking to the top influencers, creators, movers, and shakers who are on a mission to change the world. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button. If you're on iTunes or Spotify, make sure to rate the show 5 stars. It helps out the show more than you know. Now let's get into it.
What's up, Disrupt Nation? My name is Tony Delgado, and here I'm with my main man, Juan Salgado. Juan, thank you so much for being here,
my brother. Friend. Yeah, thanks for the invite, man.
So
pleasure and an honor, first of all.
No, likewise, man. I've been following your journey for quite some time.
Thank you.
There's a lot of hype, and there's a lot of money flowing through the cryptocurrency, and now specifically the NFT space. Yes. But we don't have a lot of Latinos in the space, so that's why when I found your project, I was really, really excited. Not only is the art incredible, but your story behind it is really, really interesting. So I want to deep dive into it. But before we get into, your journey through the NFT space, I want to talk a bit about your journey as an artist.
Yes.
How did you get started as an artist?
Man, I've always been an artist. Since I had to use a reason, I've been doing art. I was a super shy person when I was a kid. You know, so I think art was my way of like coping with the real world. And all of a sudden, I started gaining attention. I remember in my first grades of school, you know, I became a little bit popular because I was the kid on the class that knew how to draw. So I saw it as an escape, basically, and I just had a passion for it since always, you know. And I knew it since I was a little kid. I knew that was what I was going to do. So since very early, I started educating myself. So I remember probably my first art class was at 9 or 10, because I decided I wanted to take art classes, you know, because I knew I had a skill, I was good at it, but I also knew I had to, like, work on it, you know, and get better and better and better. So, basically, I studied art all my life. I started at 9, then I joined an art high school in Puerto Rico, because I remember I was in a Catholic school, and I didn't like it so much, you know, because it was like a movie, bro, like the popularity contest and all that. It wasn't for me because I am not an athlete, you know, and stuff like that. So I heard about this school called La Central de Arte Visuales in Puerto Rico, man, the best school here, honestly. They taught me everything I knew about art. So this is an art high school. It's a specialized public school, specialized in art.
Wow.
So you take 90 minutes of art daily there. So, man, I changed schools in 9th grade, I remember. And it changed my life forever. Then there, I decided I wanted to do this forever, you know. Even though I was against the current, because what in the past, like right now we have more information, but in the past, you know how it is. Like, I want to be an artist, man. You're gonna
be homeless.
You're gonna be homeless. You're gonna be hungry. So, man, like knowing that, I still wanted to be an artist. First of all, I mean, I come from a conservative family, so I started my journey saying that I wanted to be an architect. Because it's a safe art. Safe, because it's not safe
more
at all.
Corporate than
But in the process, you know, I started getting deeper into the painting, into the scene and all that. And man, I just decided, like, this is what I'm good at, you know. This is what I have fun doing. So I remember in college, I went to an art college too. I used to call classes to go to the art department. You know what I mean? So there you go, man. I mean, I just had a dream. I had a passion since I was a little kid, and I saw the light in the end of the tunnel. I went for it.
But then when did you transition to start doing art on skin, right? Start actually doing
tattoos? So, yeah, man, I was, when I was younger, I was really into, like, punk rock and metal, you know? So I was into extreme games and all that, you know, like, all the punk scene, all the ramifications of it. So I'm guessing that I was interested in art since I was a little kid, I guess, I saw my idols, you know, the rock stars, they had tattoos in them. Yeah. So I kind of got interested in that. So I remember in high school, I used to, like, draw tattoos every day, you know, like the teachers were getting mad because I had, like, flames, stuff like that, you know. So I had that interest since I was a little kid, I think, probably, like I told you, like, from my idols. And it was super hard in the past to learn how to tattoo, man. So, I mean,
I don't think they teach that in school, really, right?
No, they're opening some. They're opening some, yeah. But in the past, like I'm saying, like 20 years ago, it was nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. Nearly, like you couldn't even, like, order stuff online unless you worked on a shop that was licensed, because you had to send the license number and all that.
Wow.
So I started, first of all, being a client. I started getting tattooed first, like 17, illegally, right? Because the majority of age in Puerto Rico is 21. Oh, yeah, I did it. I got tattooed at 17. So then I started getting tattooed first. So in that process, I was kind of learning a little bit, you know. I'm like, this is art. Like, how come there are not good artists doing this? You know, this is art. So I remember when I started college in San Juan, I became friends with a tattoo artist in the shop in Old San Juan. And then I started, like, asking him a little bit and getting burst into it. But simply, they didn't give you the opportunity, you know, like they were super, like, protective with that, you know, in the past. So when they ask me, how do you start tattooing? I always say that tattooing shows me, because this is what happened. You know, at 20 years old, I was in my house. I was already tattooed. I was doing nothing. And all of a sudden, like, I was working at the time in an office, an art material place, you know. So I remember one afternoon, like, somebody knocks on my door. I open the door, and it's this friend I haven't seen, like, in 10 years. Like, my childhood friend, you know, we used to escape to the river to smoke cigarettes and all that. So I see him. He's, like, super long hair and super tattooed. I'm like, bro, you have tattoos? I have tattoos. And he's like, yeah, bro, I'm tattooing in Boston. I'm like, did you bring your machines with you? And he's like, of course. I'm like, let's go get him. Like, not even a minute. I haven't seen this dude in 10 years. And in less than a minute, we're walking to his house to get the tattoo machines, you know, because I was so, so desperate just to start, because I knew I had it in me, you know. So we went, looked at the machines. I tattooed myself. Then I just started tattooing him. And I do not come from a rich family, you know. I had a lot of struggle when I was a little kid. So all my friends were in the same place, so we didn't have money for tattoos. So obviously all my friends wanted to get tattooed. They were metalheads and punks and all that, so they encouraged me, like, bro,
yeah, you have to learn,
because so they saw free tattoos in me, you know. So that's how everything started, man. I started tattooing my friends all of a sudden.
Well, what year is this? It's probably no YouTube, right?
20 years ago, bro.
Yeah, so there's not even a way to go on YouTube, try to figure it out. You gotta find the mentor.
There's no Facebook, bro. Yeah. There's no anything at the moment. So I just started taking Polaroids of my friends, you know, and going around the Polaroids. I tattoo, so I did a little studio in my house. The first 3 months of my career, I spent at my house. No apprenticeship, no anything. I just had my friend that, honestly, like, he wasn't really good, you know? But I didn't know at the time. So,
but he had the machine.
He had the machine, bro, and the inks, and he showed me how to, like, set up the machine and all that. So that's all I needed, really. So the first 3 months I started working there, the word starts getting out. And 3 months into it, they offered me a full-time job in a shop in Bayamon, Puerto Rico.
Wow.
So, man, I started from scratch. I remember the first week I did $200. I'm like, what? $200 in a week?
Yeah.
And I saw the opportunity, man. And it was super hustle, you know, because at first it's super hard tattooing, because all tattoos heal super bad, you know. Mm-hmm. So you're like, how do you? So I figured it out, and I had an epiphany moment at the moment. I'm like, man, I'm just going to do the best job possible it doesn't matter if they pay me enough or not, you know, because I need to do this for me. So I remember my first 15-piece portfolio I did for free. I tattooed all my friends, did amazing pieces just to start selling a little bit, you know. So I just started doing my best. I saw the opportunity. I saw not much artists were into it. So, man, I just started rapping. And I remember 8 months into tattooing, I won my first award in the Puerto Rico convention. And from there on, I won every year. I have more than 165 international awards. I just went through that route. You know, I had something to prove. Mm. You know, there's a...
You had a hunger inside you.
I had a hunger. And also, Puerto Rico's like that, man. But Puerto Rico, to get credibility here from Puerto Ricans, it's super hard. Mm. So they were like, man, you're good, but I mean, people in the U.S. are better than you. You know, they have techniques that you don't have. I'm like, I have my tattoo machines. I have my inks. I have my hands. They have the same thing. There's no difference. You know, like, they're like, you won't be better than them. So that's when I had to travel, you know, because I was winning in Puerto Rico, but they're like, you can't win in the U.S. So I just went to the best competition in the U.S. I remember they didn't want to sell me a booth there because you got to be famous to be there.
Oh, wow.
So at the time I wasn't. So I went with a friend of mine who was working in New York. He got invited. So I went through that process like I was working for him. And I remember I got in that tattoo convention, I got the biggest two awards. I got best tattoo of the show. You know, that's they do that on Sunday because you got to be working on a piece the whole weekend to compete. I'm saying, bro, I competed with the best of the U.S., the best of Europe, the best of Japan, the best competition. Bro. Like, I went to the best one, the first one, and I cleaned it. And I won the best tattoo of the convention. I also won large color. That was like the other one with the big prestige, you know. So, man, after that, I mean, I was in all magazines and all of that. I just started traveling a lot and competing, and my style was in trend at the moment, so I started winning everything, bro. So I'm like, you see, man, I'm good enough.
I told you so.
I told you. Yeah, and I think it was a good lesson for Puerto Ricans, you know, because, I mean, we have that. I mean, in Puerto Rican things that they like subconsciously think that we're less.
Well, yeah, it's like the colonial
mindset. It's an island. It's a consularistic mindset. You know, it's an island mindset. And I think with my example, they learned, and also with Bad Bunny's example, and all these celebrities, all these people that are repping in the world, that it really doesn't matter where you come from, bro. What matters is the hunger you have.
So number one was the hunger, right? You had this monkey on your back. You had something to prove, right?
Yeah.
but then to circle back, right, most artists are not as financially and business savvy and as successful as you've become, right? Yeah. You've been able to work with Ricky Martin, Bad Bunny, Daddy Yankee.
Yeah.
You now have your own shop with 10 plus artists working under you.
Yep.
You know, hundreds of tattoos being created on a weekly basis. And now you have this NFT project, and you've become very financially successful in a business savviness, right?
Yeah.
So what advice do you have maybe for the starving artist that might be out there? How do you transform your creativity and your talents into a business acclimate?
Man, you gotta cover all ground. I mean, being good is just like 10%, 20% of it. So you gotta understand that, first of all, you gotta get great at what you do, and that's just first step, you know. Second step, you gotta got good relations with the scene you wanna like get into, you know. You
provide value, right?
You need to provide value. You need to climb the ladder, man. You know, and get to know everybody and get to be known. You know, it doesn't pay if you're good but nobody knows about you. So you also gotta work great on your marketing, man. Because that, for example, what happened to me when I won my first international award, before the convention I told you about that I went there, I competed in one that I didn't go because I couldn't get there. But the client did. He flew there. He put his piece into competition, and he won. And I remember I won that. It was medium color, my first big award. And he called me like, are you sitting down? I'm like, yeah, you won, bro. I'm like, what? And I won. I'm sitting here in Bayamon with no clients, bro. 2 weeks, everybody canceled. I'm like, poor. Not that
yeah.
You can be the world champion, but if nobody knows you're the world champion, it doesn't work for anything. So then I got introduced to social media. I was one of the first Puerto Rican tattoo artists that did the whole social media thing. I remember I got super criticized at first. When I started promoting on social media, I said, don't do that. You're commercializing yourself. I'm like, bro, are you going to tell my story? You're not going to tell my story. I got to tell my own story, you know?
Yeah.
So I saw how hard it was to get into different platforms. So I just thought, I'm just going to build mine. You know, I'm just going to build my client base, and I'm going to have my own platform, you know?
Yeah, so now you've accumulated over 250,000 followers on Instagram. Was that the first platform that
you focused on? I got right now 386,000 on Instagram. I had 350,000 on Facebook. I got like 9,000 on Twitter. I got a couple of more accounts. I got my shop's account that has like 50,000. Mm-hmm. So I got a couple. But also, I hustled my way a little bit in the newspapers and the tattoo magazines. So at the time, tattoo magazines were the only thing you had, you know, because not even Facebook was really available at the moment. So what I did is, I mean, the magazines had like a address you could send your pictures to, right? But I thought, man, everybody sends pictures here, you know. So I'm like, how can I get the pictures to somebody in a bigger level? So I just go through the magazine. I saw in the end, they have like the editor, the publisher, and all of them have their emails there. I'm like, I have the editor's email, man. I'm just going to write him an email, and because I knew my work was good.
Yeah.
So I knew, man, if he sees it, they publish me, you know? So I just hustled, bro. I sent to all the major magazines at the same time. And I remember when I went to Borders, I had three articles in the top three tattoo magazines in the world at the same time.
Wow.
And I orchestrated that a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
So then I understood, you know, like you gotta combine your artwork with your hustle. If it's not enough to be good. Mm-hmm. You can be the best. It's not enough, man. You know, so that would be my advice, you know. Cover the whole ground. Get great at tattooing. What the art you're going to do, get great first, because if you don't get great, then you're gonna lose your money marketing.
There's a lot of people that do the opposite. They're not good yet, and they want to do marketing. It's like, wait, you're not good yet. Don't market yourself yet. Yeah. Work on your craft.
Be great.
And then once you're great, then put yourself out there. Right?
Be great. Compete. You know, there's people. Oh, I don't compete, man. You need to compete. You need street cred. You need it, bro. I mean, how can you say you're the best if you haven't competed with the best and beat them? So work on that. Be great. Be in a competition level that you know that you're like up there with the top 10 in what you do. After you have that covered, work on your marketing. You know, it doesn't pay to market a product that's not ready.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So you just finished up this crazy viral campaign for Bad Bunny's album release. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, man. Where did the idea
come from?
So, I mean, I remember I was going through Instagram and I saw that Bad Bunny and his crew got the tattoo of the cover art, you know? So obviously I'm a tattoo artist, so I'm like, how can I integrate in this? You know, because if they're already publishing tattoos, they should like exploit it a little bit more, you know, because it works. Then I remember I do an activity in my shop called the Day of the Dead Tattoo Party. And it's basically a day where tattoos are $60, and we promote it like crazy, and we get a super line outside, and, you know, it's a whole media frenzy thing. So I'm like, the light bulb turned on. I'm like, huh, I wonder if we can do the same party, but for Bad Bunny's album release, you know? And I had the luck that my manager, Jeff, he had the direct contact of Noah, Bad Bunny's manager, so... We had a great idea in our hands. So like, it took a minute. I'm like, wow, imagine this. He's like, give me a minute. He pitched the idea to Nora, and less than a minute, we're approved. I'm like, it's done? So we wanted to do it for 2 weeks' notice, but then Bad Bunny, personally, he was like, he loved the idea so much, but they're fair believers in momentum. You know, that's why they're so successful, because it's a religion for them, momentum. So he's like, you got to do it, but you got to do it in 48 hours. I'm like, man, it's a crazy, bro, 150 tattoos, 11 artists, you know, a whole shop to deal with that, security to deal with the line, water, food, marketing, all of that in 48 hours. So, but man, we did great. I mean, organically, it wasn't one of the best experiences I've had in my life, man.
So now there's 150 people in Puerto Rico with Bad Bunny's album.
Even more, because we started the trend, but right now in Miami they did the same thing. So now add 150 in Miami.
Oh wow,
that's only 300 free tattoos. Imagine all the people that are already paying for it. You know, the ripple effect was so big that I have friends that are teachers in schools, and they tell me, bro, my students are like doing the heart with markers on their skin in the school. So it's a huge impact.
Yeah, that's influence. That's real influence when you plant that seed and now it starts growing and spreading.
Exactly. That's why I think that Bad Bunny endorsed the idea, because he knew the potential. I mean, they're super smart people, you know, so they're like, promotion for free, basically, in people that are going to have it permanent on their body
for the rest of their life.
It's a no-brainer, man. It's a no-brainer. I would say yes, you know, any time of the day. So yeah, man, it was really, really cool project. I loved it.
Incredible. So now let's talk a little bit about your NFT project.
Cool.
Where was the inspiration for the NFT project, and how did you get into NFTs just to begin with?
So I tattoo a lot of people, you know, and from these people I tattoo, there's a couple of them that are like expert crypto traders and all that. So, I mean, they always talk to me about crypto. Like, I am not a trader. I wouldn't call myself that. But I know a little bit, because obviously we spend a lot of hours tattooing, you know. So, I mean, they started making me interested in crypto first. And all of a sudden, like, I always found it a little bit confusing for me. But then they showed me the NFT concept, you know, at first. So, I mean, it blew my mind that a lot of people were paying, like, a lot of money for these animations or JPEGs and all of that. So I started getting into it. I started learning about the blockchain and all of that. And I myself understood the value, you know. There's people that simply don't get it because, I don't know, the government just control their brains and they don't understand that we create the value, but we do. So, I mean, the whole concept blew my mind. And first of all, I wanted to do a big collection, but at the moment it was like a dream far away, you know, because you need a whole team to do that. So I started doing a one-of-one. So I am not a computer animator. I'm just an artist and a concept creator, but I don't animate. So what I did is I was a creative director of this first piece. So basically I employed this company that they do like commercials for Sprite and all that animation. You know, I look in the portfolio, I'm like, they're pretty good. And I called them and they didn't even heard about the NFT concept, bro. I'm like, I mean, you're animators. So I explained them a little bit. They're like, okay. So I basically did a 2D version. And we had a back and forth, you know. It cost me like $7,000 to have this animation
made. Oh, wow.
So it really was an investment, you know, to test the waters. Because I didn't even know, like, if you could sell it, you know. So I created this art. I loved it. I think the animation was really in tune with what my art is. You know, I see a lot of artists that their animations are not even close to their style. So it doesn't make sense, you know. But, I did it. It was super nerve-wracking when I put it for sale, basically, and I made it an auction. So I did it for 5 days, basically, and the first 4 days, bro, nobody beat it. So I was super scared, man. I'm like, man, I'm just going to like pretend this didn't happen. I'm going to post a tattoo tomorrow. I just lost $7,000. I don't care. But in the last 45 minutes, a video game company from here bought it at 7.5 Ethereum, bro. I'm like,
wow.
So for me, it was mind-blowing because it was my first NFT, you know. And I'm pretty known in the island, and I'm pretty known for being the first step. I'm for doing the, how do you call that? The breakthrough guy. Like, nobody is going to touch NFTs. We're going to wait till Juan does it to see what happens. So I knew I had a lot of weight in my back, because a lot of NFT projects are waiting for me to have success so they can enter the market as well. So for me, man, it was a celebration, man. When I saw that, I mean, all the media posted here, and I gave like some hope to artists here. So it's bigger than just selling my NFT. It was like the first hopeful project in Puerto Rico.
Definitely. Yeah. And then, so you sold it for 7.5 Ethereum. So it's around at that point, the price of Ethereum, like around $25,000.
No, $32,000.
$32,000. So you turned the $7,000 investment plus your art, right? Yeah. Your work. So you basically like four extra money, your investment. But more important than that, you proved out that no, successful NFTs can be launched from the island.
Exactly. And everybody, I think everybody took it like that. I remember I did it a couple of days before the Metaverso. It's a project that G-Money does.
Yeah, during the crypto week.
Exactly. Yeah. So he did it in the museum, and when I got there, I was a rock star, bro. Everybody was like, well, like the guy that sold the $32,000 NFT. I'm like, what? So it was really good, man. I love how happy everybody was with it. You know, everybody was hopeful because everybody thought NFTs were fake. Mm. And they're like, that's a scam. You know, all of a sudden, like, this dude's making money. This dude's making money. And all of a sudden, like, somebody from Puerto Rico is making money. Yeah. They're like, crazy, man. So,
that's part of the controversy here in Puerto Rico locally is there's a lot of, like, crypto expats that are moving to the island for the tax incentives as part of it. Plus, Puerto Rico is beautiful. But a lot of them are moving to the island, and there's a lot of animosity saying, hey, these people are not good for the island. They're the only ones that are making money.
Yeah.
Right. What are your feelings on how the existing ecosystem of locals who are interested in the space are mixing and cohabitating with these foreigners that are basically moving to the island?
It's a gray area, man. Right now, I wish that we had more collaborations happening, you know, but there's a divide that I'm seeing. I'm pretty sure it's because it's a new concept. I think it's going to get better. I think I'm helping with that, but I'm not pretty sure if those people are like actually looking at the talent in the island, you know what I mean? So, but in my personal opinion, they know who I am. They gave props to me. So, I mean, in my personal opinion, it's good. But I wish there was, like, more collaborations, more incentive for artists of the island.
Yeah.
I would say.
Well, and we need to build more roads and more connections.
Definitely. The forums need to be fixed.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest. When I did my collection, I wanted to promote in a couple of forums, you know, like... I don't know if I should mention names, but there's a couple of forums out there that are pretty known for NFTs, and they have no Latino artists.
Really?
No one. And
gotta tell me the names off camera.
Yeah, I sent emails, bro, and I'm not even good enough for an answer. You know what I mean? I'm like, so if we don't fix that, I'm gonna tell this to the world. If we don't fix the forum problem, NFTs are not gonna be a popular concept. We need to all work together. Right now, it's in baby steps. We need to all get together and make the concept work so we can create an economy out of it. Because if we don't have wallets, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to sell NFTs? Like, right now, in the collection I recently made, 80% of the holders created their wallet for this NFT.
Wow.
So that's how you do it. That's how you do it. I knew.
Yeah, you're pushing adoption.
I knew I had the machete in my hand. I need to cut the grass because I'm new here. But that's the feeling how I want the forums to also have that hunger. I understand we all have the machete in our hands. We need to pave the ground. And because if not, I mean, NFTs, the NFT concept, I think at the moment should be even more popular. It is not because of the niche problem that the forums have.
Well, I've said this multiple times on social media. I feel 99% of NFTs are scams.
Okay.
99% are scams.
Yeah.
And it's the 1%. Like projects like yours that are backed by real people who are completely doxxed, real business owners who are real artists and are actually out there creating something of value. And like when I invest into an NFT project, I'm not only investing in the art, I'm investing in the founder.
Time out. If you've been getting value out of this episode and you want more episodes like this, I want you to smash the like button, hit subscribe, and then hit the bell so that you get post notifications every single time we drop more of this exclusive content. If you're an entrepreneur that wants to take their game to the next level, then this show is absolutely for you. And the best part is completely free. And anyone that subscribes today, we're going to be giving out $100,000. No, we're not. But still, subscribe. It's free.
When I invest into an NFT project, I'm not only investing in the art, I'm investing in the founders. I'm investing in the people behind it, right? Yeah. But if you look at, you know, OpenSea, you'll see a bunch of these anonymous projects where it's, you know, the grandpa apes or these copycat wannabe board apes or copycat wannabe crypto punks, and there's no team behind it. It's literally just a cash grab.
Yeah.
So when I do bet on projects, I bet on the founders and the team behind it.
Of course.
And that's what attracted me to your project. I was like, wow.
That's why I put my name in the line for it, you know, because I needed people to understand that it was legit, you know. You have a person to point if you want. You know what I mean? So what better than that?
So let's talk a little bit about the NFT itself. So what are the utilities that are involved with it and how does it work?
So my first NFT, the one of one I was telling you about, I put a utility in it. I gave a free tattoo sitting to anyone that bought it, you know. So after that, I did my second NFT, and it was a test. Basically, I did a 2D iPad design. I do it in Procreate. I minted it as an NFT, and it sold in $5,500, my second NFT. And after that, I meet the programmers, the people from Neftify and Outlaw, and we had the idea of creating a collection of 5,000 unique NFTs, you know. And for the first time, I see it as a reality, because Outlaw is an expert in the randomization, and Neftify is an expert in smart contracts and websites, and I'm like, perfect.
They're both local companies.
They're both local. That's, I mean, they're together right now. Like Outlaw now works with Neftify, so they consolidated.
That's great.
So, I mean, it was really with their help that I created this 5,000 unique skulls.
And yeah, it's called the Tattoo Skull Society.
The Tattoo Skull Society.
Izzy will put the link somewhere up down.
Awesome. So, I mean, I created this community, this collection to start a community. So I wanted to create an artist community that would grow. And in the future, I mean, we started with my collection, but in the future we can feature other artists' collection in the same one, you know. So I mean, I gave a couple of utilities because obviously I was noticing that there are a lot of collections that had no utilities, and a lot of people are find hard to give value just to the art. So I wanted to make people feel and understand that they were paying for something that was worth more than they were paying for. So I created the collection. The main price is 0.08, and the utilities, we have a couple of utilities, but the most important ones is that you're going to be able to participate in giveaways. Mm-hmm. Like every given month or every given activity or whatever. We're basically be giving away tattoos, VIP tattoo sittings, art prints, original art, drawings, and all of that. We're also working on a couple of in real life, you know, the Bad Bunny tattoo party. We're going to do one for the skulls. That's going to be our next in real life. So, yeah, we're also that. Wait, I lost the line.
Don't worry. He knows how to edit.
Yeah, I know.
I bought the NFT, but there's gonna be a really cool people there. Yeah. In case I want to buy somebody, you know, send me my NFT back.
So yeah, right now I'm planning to to do something with because there's people that have more than one, right? But we get a mint a limit of 22. So right now I'm planning to give away things to people who have 10 or more. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that.
Yeah. So some projects, they'll call it like whale status. So hey, if you got 10 of them, you're considered a whale, and then you get this other utility, or you get certain access to certain events,
exactly,
parties, yeah, networking, etc.
So yeah, that would be, I mean, the for me, like, the most attractive utilities is the giveaways and also the accesses for the parties. So for example, we're gonna do also probably a big party in August, and we're gonna have like superstars, you know, like probably like Mora or this like amazing urban artist. So they're gonna be great parties, man.
Very cool.
And also there's, I mean, this is just the beginning. I mean, the collection is actually evolving right now. We have a video game, a play to earn. That's coming on the way. We're also like collaborating with a couple of other collections. We're going to have like hybrids from collections, you know, and those hybrids are going to give you like other accesses, you know. We're gonna do some crazy stuff. You'll check it out.
Very cool.
Our next project, bro. I mean, it's gonna be news. I tell you.
Yeah, Latinos in the metaverse. Latinos taking over the metaverse.
Yeah, man.
It's incredible. Well. So that's something that I wanted to talk to you about is doing an activation for your project at the upcoming Disrupt event.
Nice.
I would love to freaking give some tickets away to your community.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, for sure.
And add that to the utility.
They're going
to
love it, man. We haven't had it in real life still. You know, we've been up for 2 months and a half, I think, something like that. And they're dying for that, bro. So, man, when we have our first in real life, man, they're going to love it. Seriously, we have a really active community. It's a community of over 2,000 people right now, and they're super active, man. They're super active, man, and they're super into it. So, I mean, I feel a responsibility to them too, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think the next step, and I was speaking to your manager a little bit about this, is like, now how do we get the project from the 2,000 Latinos who own it right here in Puerto Rico, and now how do we make it go worldwide?
Nice.
How do we get in front of more people? So one of the other upcoming events besides the Disrupt event that's next at the end of this month is the month after is NFT NYC.
Nice.
So we're working on an event, and the venue for this space, all the walls are made out of LCD screens. Wow. So it's literally like you
crazy.
Can do the possibilities are endless. So I'm working with the event coordinator on that to see what kind of like crazy experience that we can create.
Yeah, awesome.
But we need to get it in front of the mainstream. There was actually a big criticism on Twitter a few weeks back because the Bored Ape Yacht Club, as an example, quote unquote, doesn't really have any female characters. And even the quote female character, it's not really a female character. So there was a whole controversy that spread around it. They even started saying that like Bored Ape Yacht Club was stealing culture.
Wow.
Right? Because if you think they're having gold chains and they have hats and it's like, it's kind of like hip hop culture, but it's a bunch of white guys that started it.
Yeah.
So it's like, damn, these guys are making billions of dollars from hip hop culture.
Yeah.
And, but where's the give back, right? So they're even calling it cultural appropriation.
Wow.
I'm not saying that I agree or disagree with those statements, but there was a huge controversy, a huge uproaring on Twitter. And the main thesis was that there isn't enough diversity. There isn't enough representation in the space. And that Blacks and Latinos, and women that want to enter the space, they actually feel alienated. They feel like, wait, maybe that's not for me, right?
Yeah.
What do you think we can do to bridge that gap?
I mean, include. I mean, that what I was telling earlier, man, I think forums should do their work. I mean, it's tiring to see apes and crypto punks, apes and crypto punks, apes and crypto punks. Like no one else is doing anything better. You know, like I myself, my collection has better utilities than most. Seriously, but I just need to people to know about it. You know, like right now we just gave the rights of your NFT. So if you own a skull, you can use it in merch,
commerce. Oh, that's
and
cool.
All that because we have an extensive license. So everybody can use their NFT to do merch or whatever. I mean, right now I'm actually launching my first cannabis flower. It's called Laser Beams, and the art for the packet is one of my skulls. So I started with that. I'm gonna use it as an example so the community can see the possibilities. You know what I mean? And it's super genius because I mean you already have a product that everybody knows about. You know, so it's the skulls are super hyped up right now. So you have half of the battle already won.
Yeah, you could start a restaurant, a bar, a nightclub, t-shirts, merch,
and you already got a community that you can tell them about it. You know, and they just diffuse the information. you know. So I mean, it's super beneficial, but it's something that it's still in diapers, you know. We just gotta like work on it so people understand the concept more, you know, and get it out there, man.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, that was my idea, you know, that telling you about the forums. Like, obviously, I have a global mindset, you know, all the time. So, but I mean, it's I mean, the forums gotta do the work.
Definitely.
Seriously.
So
I know, forums, get to it.
yeah. The community needs to open those conversations.
Yeah, for sure.
So Juan, I know that we're running low on time, but I have one last question that I ask to all my guests.
Okay.
And that is, what does disrupt mean to you?
Disrupted means like just interrupt your old way of thinking, you know, and be open to the new mindset.
So the word disrupt, if you put it into like Google Translate, right, it's going to say to interrupt.
Yeah.
But in the entrepreneurial culture, the word kind of has a little bit of a different meaning, right?
Because
it's more to like change the way things have already always been done right? So like Uber disrupted the taxi industry and they did it better. Juan, thank you so much for coming on the show. If people want to follow you on social media, where's the best place to do it?
Yeah, Instagram right now is one of my main. So it's Juan_Salgado. You can go to Twitter for all my NFT crypto-related content. It's Juan Salgado Art.
Juan, thank you so much again for being on the show, my friend. And thank you for everything that you're doing for the crypto community here in Puerto Rico.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Hey, if you got value from this podcast, I want to give you an invitation. I want to invite you to join our next masterclass. Our masterclasses go through finance, entrepreneurship, business, and everything you need to take your game to the next level. So click the link below or go to disruptmasterclass.com, and I'll see you on the inside.
Let me just lay it out like this. There's the lower class, there's the middle class, there's the upper middle class, there's the rich, there's the wealthy, there's the super wealthy, and then it goes to another level.